The state of the job market in this coronavirus world. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Tomorrow, we'll get the official U.S. jobs report for February. Despite plenty of coronavirus headlines, economic forecasters still think employment will hold pretty steady at perhaps 165,000 more names added to payrolls. But you see, that's February. The March data could be a different story. I spoke to economist Diane Swonk this morning.
We will start to see some of the effects in March, and not only will we see it in manufacturing where it's compounded over the course of the month, it's starting to hit the service sector in March as well with cancellations of conferences and flight reductions, all of that within the United States, so that will show up as a cut. But most notably, it's a ghost town in places like Long Beach where a lot of the imports from China come in, parts and toys and everything else we see in our stores. Half of the longshoremen in Long Beach have already been laid off.
A port of Long Beach in California. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Yes, the Dow went up 1,173 points yesterday, 4.5%, but that was yesterday. Today, analysts say many of the economic interventions that global policymakers have been doing in the face of the coronavirus outbreak are underscoring the uncertainty about so much of this. The benchmark for 10-year interest rates in America is down again, 0.93% now. Now, money can't buy you love, they say, which brings us to Mike Bloomberg in the context of the Democratic primaries. You saw the former New York mayor dropped out of the presidential race yesterday after spending $500 million on his campaign. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more on what money can and cannot buy you in politics.
Lots of money can buy you lots of advertisements, which can certainly help you with name recognition. But, says Democratic strategist Atima Omara,
as much money as you can spend, at the end of the day, putting in the time with the voters on the ground is what makes a difference and making the case face to face.
Bloomberg spent some time in Super Tuesday states, but Omara says he wasn't as engaged as other candidates. Sarah Briner's with the Center for Responsive Politics and says even though President Trump famously self-funded part of his campaign,
he really was the exception to a long, long history where these rich billionaires and millionaires self-fund campaigns but can't connect to voters.
And she says Bloomberg likely isn't done spending money in this race.
I anticipate a lot of anti-Trump advertisements being brought to you by Bloomberg.
One thing research shows money can buy you in politics is influence. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
With Super Tuesday top of mind this week, we wanted to give you an offer so super that you would not want to miss it. Give $30 today to get our brand new Marketplace t-shirt designed especially for super fans like you. Now, your support is so important to what we do, and now we need you more than ever. Become a Marketplace investor and cast your vote for independent journalism. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Let's do Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit, where we revisit basic economics on a weekly basis. We're reading a free Econ 101 textbook, a chapter a week here. This week, it's all about rules and laws that keep our economic interactions from being so winner-take-all. Sounds dry to you? Well, not when the pirates show up. Turns out 18th century pirates, the same murderous, larcenous folks who used stolen ships to steal, used fussy little employment contracts to describe the duties and rights of everyone aboard. Peter Leeson is a professor of economics and law at George Mason University. He wrote a book about the hidden economics of pirates. Hi there.
Pleasure to be here.
I mean, one would think those thieves of the high seas pirates would be loosey-goosey when it came to managing their pirate ships. But what? You found there was democracy of a sort and contract law that would often apply?
Not just that. I'd say, if anything, pirates were a bit puritanical. And the seeming puzzle there is resolved once you consider the fact that since pirates were criminals and they were living and working on these ships for months at a time at sea, they needed to figure out some way to cooperate, to get together, to make sure they wouldn't steal from each other or kill one another, such as not drinking on the pirate deck after dark. There was no gambling that was allowed on pirate ships.
So not just honor among thieves, but written down actual rules that would guide things. Things like how the spoils of attacking another ship would be apportioned among the crew?
Yeah, so these pirate articles, as they were called. They were first and foremost employment contracts. So all members of the crew got together and they unanimously agreed to these things. And one of the most important things that they wanted to get down first was what the compensation would look like for each pirate crew member.
And I saw one example of these. It was remarkably egalitarian.
And the reason for that isn't so much that pirates were inherently egalitarian, but rather this having this kind of flat pay scale was driven by simple concern for making as much money as possible. It made sure that all members of the pirate crew had a similar interest in continuing, or if they were going to shut it down, shutting down the expedition.
Okay, so it's sort of like one of those companies where they encourage widespread stock ownership.
That's right. It was a kind of workers' cooperative of sorts. It made sense for them to all be these equity stakeholders in these small floating firms because there were no external financiers. The crew members stole the ship, so they actually jointly owned it. Contrast that with, you know, a firm like Walmart. You couldn't possibly run that thing in a reasonable way as a workers' cooperative because you have external capital that's required.
Peter Leeson is a professor of economics and law at George Mason University. He's written articles about this in places like the Journal of Political Economy. But if you really want to go deep, do not miss Dr. Leeson's book about the hidden economics of pirates. It's called The Invisible Hook. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
And join us for Econ Extra Credit via the green button at marketplace.org. Now, recapping, the Dow is down 835 points now, 3.1%. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.